song, though. All right, we'll grab our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Again, we're looking at the relationship. This is Paul's last letter, and he's writing things to Timothy. Now, Timothy, Paul did not lead Timothy to Christ. Timothy was already saved when Paul came through where Timothy was at. And we see the relationship that Paul has, this loving father figure towards Timothy. So in chapter 3, what we're going to notice here is in a loving relationship, in this father-son dynamic, spiritual father-son dynamic, we see that love also protects, right? Now, not just, because protection can mean so many things, right? It can be subjective. We say, well, I'm just trying to protect you, when no, that's being controlling, right? We talked about love also gives freedom. So we have 19 characteristics, 19 items here that Paul is protecting Timothy from. And it's very clear on what this loving relationship has, on what to say, hey, stay away from this. Stay away from these. Okay? And these 19 items we're going to go over here in the beginning can't be argued with, well, that's your perspective. That's your point of view. You're just trying to control me. No, it's very clear these 19 items are sinful, immoral, and wrong. Okay? So, love being seen through protection, and we're going to see the protection that Paul is protecting Timothy from, and then he helps him to understand what to focus on. What can I stand sure on? Okay, what can I stand sure on in this love? Okay, chapter 3, verse number 1, know this. Now, again, Paul just got done closing with, people being caught in the snare of the devil. Okay, people being caught in trickery and inside that of being caught in the devil's schemes. Sometimes if someone stays there long enough, they can start teaching false things, living a false lifestyle, doing things contrary to what their previous teaching, like through Paul, taught them. Know this, chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1. In the last days, perilous times will come. Now, we're going to notice that from Paul's perspective, he thinks he's in the last days. He thinks he's in the last days. Okay, perilous times shall come. Okay, perilous means reducing in strength or difficult. Your Bible might say dangerous, difficult, different things like that. These difficult times will come. Now, what will that look like? Men, so here's the 19 items. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And that natural affection has the idea of like a sibling loving another sibling. Okay, like a compassionate love towards a family member, right? They're not doing that. Families aren't loving each other. Truce breakers, slanderers, unrestrained, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Turn away from such people. So there is Paul's command to Timothy. When you see these 19 characteristics, you see one of these in someone, okay, you need to turn away from these people. Now, we have to be kind of clear on, okay, when do I turn away, or when do I, if I was to take this out and apply it to my life, when do I do this? If someone is struggling with one of these sins, but they're wanting help, I'm going to help them. I'm going to invest in them, right, through this. Now, if they see that there's nothing wrong with it, and they're trying to convince you that they're right, they're trying to get you to do what they're doing, then that's the game changer, right? That's when I'm going to say, nope, I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to fellowship with you. I'll be cordial and nice. I will have Christ characteristics towards you, because how I treat someone isn't based on me liking them or not liking them. It's based on my identity and who I am. Okay? So if I'm to walk in love, or if I'm to have the fruit of the Spirit, it's towards people that don't deserve it also. Those that do deserve it and those that don't deserve it. That's how I am to live, because that's who I am in Christ. Now, I can do those things. I don't have to be mean and angry and hateful towards someone who has these 19 characteristics. I can say, hey, you're showing me where you're at. I don't have to take where you're wrong on my life and hold it in me and be upset. That's where bitterness comes from, right? Allowing someone else's sin to control your emotions. I think many of us have experienced that. I mean, I might dare say that we've all experienced that. But we know that we're free from that. So that would be the game changer when people are trying to convince you that they're okay, that they're right, that it's not affecting them, and, you know, how dare you be judgmental, and they start putting you down. You know, this is how kind of the tier of arguments happen, right? Sometimes it starts off somewhat cordial in a disagreement, but then the more someone buckles down in their wrongdoing, now they'll start attacking your character. Now they start attacking you personally, right? That's when you know, okay, if it wasn't as bad as you say it is, this towards me would not be happening. So I'm the mature and wise one, and I go, okay, by your response towards me, attacking my character, attacking who I am, I'm just going to simply walk away. I'm not going to be a part of that. Okay? These men are lovers of themselves. They love money. They're boastful. They're proud. Okay? These are not 21st century American problems. These were happening back then. This isn't a problem of people not following the Constitution like they should, or this isn't, a new problem of, you know, well, our country is not supporting police and firefighters and people that, try and help us. This has been going on for thousands of years, all right? This is nothing new. These men have always been around, okay? What's sad is it looks like these men are born again, were starting out on the right track, and got sidetracked. This is just my opinion. I can't actually prove this. But just in my experience and using the eye test, to me it looks like when someone's born again, living in sin, they do more damage, they're more uncontrollable than someone who is unsaved in the same condition. Have you maybe experienced that? Have you guys maybe seen the eye test and said, man, I mean, this guy claims that he knows Christ, but in living in sin, this guy is a Tasmanian devil, if you will. You can't get around it, can you? Because the Holy Spirit's constantly convicting you. The Holy Spirit is constantly, you know I'm quenching the Spirit. You know that there's quenching, and I'm grieving the Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit, instead of working out of you to others, he's just constantly working on you. So you can kind of, you can try and run, you can try and hide, you can try and avoid, but it just keeps, you know, it keeps you there, and you get worse and worse. So we see that disobedient to parents, they're unthankful, unholy, without, we can't even love each other. Without natural affection, we can't even love those in our family. They're truce breakers, slanderers, unrestrained, fierce. They despise those who do good. Can you imagine born-again believers get upset at those that actually do good? Envious, right? Envy comes from someone else is doing, being used and doing well, and you don't like that. Why are they doing good? Why is God using them? You know, why are they getting the credit? And it bothers you even more if they're humble about it. It bothers you even more that they're giving credit to God. It bothers you even more that they're not taking any credit for themselves. You get envious when we should be rejoicing, right? We come to the point as we mature, I don't care who God uses as long as God's using people and the Lord receives the glory for it. So I don't care if it's me or anybody. I'm going to be encouraged if God uses someone else. Praise the Lord. The result is that person's either saved or that sin's taken care of or they're walking closer to the Lord. Man, praise the Lord. Doesn't matter who is used. Okay, they are traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, it's not bad to like things, right? It's not bad to go out and have a hobby or go out and do things or go out and, you know, spend money on things that you like. But it's when it becomes a love and it replaces your love for the Lord, right? I believe in Revelation, I believe it was Ephesus that left their first love. Ephesus left their first love. And who was their first love? Jesus, right? God. Yep. So he's saying, hey, they have a form of godliness. They look the part. They're around the people you're around. They talk the same way you talk. They act the same way you act at times. But they have no power. Now, if we were to take this out and apply it to us today, what would having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof look like to us today? What do you guys think? What would having a form of godliness but deny God's power, what would that look like today? What's that? What it looks like already? Yeah, people go to church, they have a Bible, they say praise the Lord, they talk the talk, but yet there's no walk there, right? There's nothing spiritual behind. The most spiritual thing they have is just the words coming off their tongue. But they're not praying for people in their church. They're not going to God's Son on behalf of someone else. They're not burdened for someone else in the body of Christ. They're not on their own thinking to themselves, hey, Lord, how can you use me to encourage Don today or encourage Bob today? What can I do to be a blessing? You know, how can I bring joy to the world? Their first thought isn't, when I walk in a room, how can Christ beam out of me? When I walk into a room, how can people see Christ in me? Something as simple as just smiling. A little fun psychology test for you to see if someone's closed-minded or not. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But if you smile someone at the store and they don't smile back, closed-minded. Closed-minded. They're not open to new things. It's their way or no way. It's kind of fun to do. You smile. Just keep on looking at you. Like, okey-doke. I'm going to use Timothy's principle here. Turn away from such people. You got it. Yeah? He's always smiling. He's seeing where you're at. So what happens to people that do this? Okay. Chapter 6. Those of this nature creep into houses and captivate silly women who are burdened with sins and lead away with various desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gives some teachers here. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds and worthless concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly will be revealed to everyone as theirs also was. So they look and take advantage of women who are struggling with sins to get them to fall into more sin, right? So they take advantage of women who are not doing so well to get them to follow them or to follow this teaching. So they're ever learning. What they're saying might sound good, but they're never able to come to the truth. Okay? They take advantage of someone's not being well, with not knowing truth, not a mature believer. They're going through hard times, and they just, pick on them to say, hey, they're easy prey. We'll get them to follow our teaching and come over here and do these things for us, and we'll be our own group. And they'll lead them more and more away. And they're using things that sound good. They're using things that might seem like, that's knowledgeable, or that sounds like it's truth, and it leads them further and further away. They're never able to come to knowledge of the truth. They're not going to grow. They're not going to go any further. Their folly will be revealed to everyone. Hey, everyone eventually, sooner or later, will see that these men who are doing this to women, they're frauds. They're fake. You can tell a false prophet or a false teacher by their fruit. Eventually, they'll see, hey, you took advantage of me. I was weak, and I was having problems. You took advantage of me. So it'll come back around. Now he gives them some truth to hold on to, okay? So this love that Paul has for Timothy says, hey, I'm just not protecting you from just things of the world. Here are 19 specific things of the world, 19 specific behaviors that I want you to be aware of in people that oppose you. Stay away from them. So it's very specific, right? It's not just, the Billy Graham sermon title, be in the world but not of the world. People act like that's like a Bible truth. That's a sermon title. Be in the world but not of the world. No, you're yes, to be there, and to be salt, to be light, right? So these people are being led astray. He says, okay, let me help you out and get your mind right. Verse 10, but you have observed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, tolerance, love, patience. Those are good behaviors. Those are positive characteristics. You see the 19 bad ones? You see that handful of good ones that Paul brings out right here? These are the ones to follow. These are what you've seen in me. Now remember, Timothy is going through a tough time, right? He's ashamed of the gospel right now. He's ashamed of Paul. He's kind of being recluse. He's kind of, not wanting to venture out and proclaim Christ like he started out. Okay? Right now he's going through a tough, discouraging time. He's ashamed. He's backtracking right now. Look at these things. You observed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, tolerance, love, patience. And when I was doing these great things, look what happened. Persecutions, verse 11, and afflictions. Which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Hey, Timothy was with Paul when Paul was stoned. When they thought that he was dead in the book of Acts, when he laid there as dead, Timothy was there. He was one of the guys that walked up and said, holy smokes. And Paul came up and went to the next town and started preaching. Timothy was in that group. He saw the persecution that Paul went through. He saw Paul get stoned as if he was dead. He was there. And Paul says, but the Lord delivered me out of all of them. And here's the encouraging message he has for Timothy. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, in this culture, at this time, in this day and age, of the context of when this is written, absolutely true. Now, sometimes in America, now this stuff is still happening in the world. This is very much happening in the world, in other countries. It's not happening in America as a whole. It's not happening. Okay, we're not writing letters from prison knowing I'm going to get my head cut off. Not yet, anyway. They might be coming, but not yet. We have our freedom still. So if someone yells at me for not liking my Jesus, that's not being persecuted. Running for your life is persecution. There's a fear that does one of two things. There, you can be afraid so much that a complete peace and calm comes over you. It's just, you've checked out. You have accepted, you're already dead. That's what happens on a ship ride or a plane ride to another country when you're going to go fight in a war. You've accepted, you're already dead. I'm free. I'm not struggling to hold on to anything down here. Though there's no inner turmoil, there's no battle inside me to cling on to things of this world. I have embraced, I'm dead. There's another fear called fight or flight, right? The other one where someone just runs away and they try and escape the fact that they're already dead. They try and cling. They try and get to. They try and run away. They try and avoid everything. They try and just totally dismiss everything. A believer in Christ, when they accept that they've died, which should be right now. You know, you're already dead. You know that, right? You're already seated with Christ in heaven, according to Ephesians 1. That's why I love Ephesians. If we're already in heaven, we should be acting like we're in heaven now. That would help our thought process, wouldn't it, and how I live today? Would I live like this in heaven? Would I make a decision if I was in heaven? Would I watch this, say this, do this, go there, fill in the blank, if I was in heaven? If the answer is a slight hesitation of no, when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. Don't do it. That's where you got a cliche saying, better safe than sorry. We're already in heaven. You know when Revelation was written and John's writing things down, do you know where you're at? You're there in heaven. Now, if you want to know the physics of that, talk to Dennis, because I don't understand it all. He does more than I do. Quantum physics is Dennis's realm, not mine. He says, hey, verse 10, you observe my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, tolerance, love, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endure, but the Lord delivered me out of all of them. Yes, and all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, again, look at Paul's response. This isn't like future, like 2,000 years from now. He's telling Timothy this, and what is Timothy supposed to do? But continue in the things that you have learned. So as evil men get worse and worse, Timothy, that you're going to see, and being deceived, you got to remember, Nero right now, he's not a good dude. Well, he never was, but Nero is putting out a total onslaught, killing believers right now in the context. He was hated by his own people, let alone Christians. It was crazy. Continue in the thing. So when it's getting so bad and you don't know what to do, do what you know what to do until you know what to do. Do what you know what to do until you know what to do. Continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing those from whom you've learned them, and that since childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He pushes Timothy when things are getting bad, when you see these 19 bad characteristics run away, and when you see evil men getting worse and getting worse and getting worse, and I don't know what to do, Paul says, here's what I want you to do. Continue going to Scripture. Continue being assured of what you know. Continue to just dig your heels in to the truth of God. And you, as a byproduct, will be more righteous. Don't give in to the unrighteous. Don't give in to the 19 characteristics I'm saying turn away from. It will be tempting. You will be tempted in the flesh. Your flesh will defend what's comfortable. Your flesh defends what's comfortable. That's why many believers don't say Christ's name out loud to someone else, because their flesh says, don't do it. And all these thoughts on what might, could be, maybe, might happen. So now I'm making a decision to not say anything about Jesus, because maybe might happen, could be somewhat, might be able to, someone might not like it. It was kind of funny. In our wrestling tournament we had this last weekend, one of our wrestlers, good kid. Awesome. Getting better and better. Huge jump from last year to this year. We're talking to him. And we're saying, when we say to stand up, go ahead and stand up and get out. He said, Coach, the reason why I don't stand up, I might get taken back down. Yep. Coach, if I stand up, he might take me back down. Yes. I see where your thinking is. But you might get away also. You might get away also. Fear is literally holding him down. Knowing it's 50-50, he knows. I can either escape and get out of this move, or he might Matt return me and bring me down. It's 50-50. Those are pretty good odds. But the fear of what might happen is keeping this boy down on his hands and knees to not get up. Isn't that interesting? What am I afraid of that's holding me down that I'm saying, but if I do that, I might get taken back down? What am I afraid of? What am I comfortable in right now that I am afraid to let go of, even though I know I need to get rid of this? This is not of God. This is not good. These decisions that I've been making are not healthy. How I'm living is not acceptable. The things I'm holding on to in my heart are against what the Lord has for me. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that this might happen. Yeah, you're right. But the Lord might also keep his promise and comfort you. The Lord might also keep his promise and give you joy. You might also experience what Christ said when he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You might also start seeing, I'm becoming more, as soon as I let go of this, I am becoming more and more conformed to Christ's image so much that I cannot help but just be thankful to be his servant. I'm not thankful to be alive. I'm not thankful to be breathing. I'm not thankful to get out of bed. I'm not thankful to all those cliche worldly sayings. I am just thankful I am born again. He's allowed me to go to heaven. And I can't help but just show that to others, to speak that to others, to talk about Jesus to others. Because I'm no longer afraid. The worst that someone can do to me is send me to heaven. The worst. Worst case scenario, I'm going to be in Christ's presence. Now, there was a time, I think in the 80s and 90s, it was really talked about, this is in the circle that we were in, leaving a legacy. Now, just so you know, I'm not for leaving a legacy. I am not for being remembered. I'm not for any of that. Do you know why? Because today is my last day. I'm not thinking I'm going to get old. I'm not thinking I'm going to retire. I'm not thinking about all those things. I'm thinking today's my last day. Why? Because I was told to behold, I come quickly. I'm borderline 2 Thessalonians. I'm waiting. All that means nothing. No responsibility. Come get me. How about now? They did do that. Yes. That's why I said I was on the border. Yes. See the different mind thought process? Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible. I am not saying don't do what you know what you're supposed to do. I'm not saying any of that. But my heart isn't on leaving something behind. If I do what I'm supposed to do, if I live like I'm supposed to live, a byproduct will be that will take care of itself. I won't have to do anything. People around me will know I love Jesus, love my family, love my church family, reach out to my community. People will know that. People will know that about you and you and you and you and you and you. All of us, as we live like we should. As I see how my Heavenly Father loves me, and in that love says, hey, stay away from these things. And I say, okay, but go to these things, like Paul said. Hey, you've seen my purpose, faith, love, patience. You've seen those. Cling on to those. If you need something to look at and a gauge to hold on to, here's where your heart is, over here. Yes, it will bring persecution and trials. Yes, it will bring that. It'll happen to anyone who desires to live godly. Absolutely. But you have the scriptures. When you're doubting, when you're getting discouraged, go there. Go to what you know, that you've been affirmed of already. Isn't that awesome that we teach the same thing? Hey, when you don't know what to do, here's what you do. Lord, I don't know what to do. But what I do know what to do is to trust you, and I'm going to read, and you will show me what I need. Because right now, my spirit is grieving. Right now, I'm hurting. Right now, I'm confused. Right now, I'm going through a tough situation. You know, Lord, you know what I'm going through. You already have the answer. I am coming to you. I'm coming to you because you already know. Allow me to yield. I want to yield. You're not authoring this evil to happen to me or this bad thing to happen to me, but you're allowing it. And I'm going to trust you as you allow this to happen. And I'm going to watch you go through so I can see Romans chapter 5. It's going to bring hope and expectation and faith. And I'm going to be able to see, hey, my evidence is built up. I'm going to help someone else out. As I have been comforted with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I can now comfort someone else. I go through things to allow me to walk closer to the Lord. And secondly, to help others get closer to the Lord. That's what Paul is instilling in love to his son. When you stop doing what you're supposed to do, and you want to give in to these 19 bad characteristics, you'll go down a path that it's going to be harder to get out of. It'll get worse and worse and worse. And people will know, hey, he's a fraud. But if you endure through it, if you look at the righteous things you're supposed to be holding on to and follow this, love and patience and what I told you to do over here, God will spring you forward, not just physically and be delivered out of them, but emotionally, spiritually. And yes, you'll have to invest in others. Absolutely. That's a part of it. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I go to this to help me. And as it helps me, I'm equipped. And as I'm equipped, I can now do a good work. That's the love that Paul has for Timothy. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the book of 2 Timothy. Lord, it's just neat to see this love being displayed in so many different facets. Lord, I appreciate the the 19 clear items to that Paul is telling Timothy to stay away from. And it's neat to see what to focus on, what to hold true to. When I get confused, Lord, or I get stuck and I don't know what to do, I can be like Timothy and go back to the Scriptures. Scriptures I've already been assured of. And yet as things get worse and worse around me, I can so cling to this truth, and you will continue to show me what to do. And out of that, we'll see righteousness as a byproduct. We're so grateful and thankful for that. Father, I ask for your children now that however you're speaking to their heart, whatever direction you're moving them, that they would yield to you, that they would say yes, and by faith obey and see, Lord, how much more conformed they are to your image. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.